right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome back. Hour number three. I want to tell you about my awesome friends at Greer Flooring and Greer Flooring Center. So their consultant's going to help you out. Their floor visualizer is going to make it easier on you. They're going to have the very best products when it comes to your hardwood floors, your engineered floors, your tile, your any of your carpet flooring. They have the area rugs for you as well. And then the installation teams are going to do an awesome job on the final back end of that. The warranty is going to be amazing. What's interesting is they say we don't sell a warranty. We don't sell ideas of warranties because everything's going to go great. But in case it doesn't, you've got that as well. And one of the things you'll notice is at the end, you're going to get a couple phone calls and some exit interviews of how did it go, because they want to make sure what they did right, what they did wrong to make it better for the next customer. I love that idea. Greer Flooring Center for 35 years in Greer, for about two or three now here in Greer, in Easley. You'll love Greer Flooring Center. Check those good folks out for sure. To our guest lines, UGASports.com. Dane Young, good morning, sir. How you doing this morning?
Hey, Mickey. I am well. Today's the first day of fall 2025 classes at the University of Georgia, so Athens is abuzz a bit. And, yeah, I told people in the dog vent this because I'm on campus every day. I work at Grady College, the journalism college on campus. If any of your listeners, and I extended the same offer to the dog vent, if any of your listeners have loved ones that are going to UGA and they're overwhelmed on the first day, I'm happy to help any way I can. They can email me, dane@uga.edu, and I will try to steer them in the right direction to get to the right people, just because first days can be tough at new places, especially unknown places with a lot of different people, and I don't want anyone to feel lonely. So if that's something that your listeners have loved ones around UGA, I'm happy to help with that.
Do you do any teaching in any classes?
I do. So I teach a class in social media and sports. You have to apply to our program to get in and everything. But, yeah, my first day of teaching that class is tomorrow. It's a Tuesday, Thursday.
What level? How far into are these kids?
Yeah, these are usually juniors or seniors.
Okay. What's the first day look like? Here's my advice I always tell college kids. If the professor keeps you there for the full day, the first day, you pass out the syllabus, you call roll, and you give a brief introduction. But we're not going to textbook right off the bat, man. Let's just kind of chill out a little bit. Let's ease away. Like marathoners, you don't run the marathon the first day. You kind of got to work into it a little bit. Do you work them? Do you give them homework and then give them assignments the first day?
The beauty of the class I teach, there is no textbook. But we will be there for most of the session because we're only in a classroom for two sessions the entire semester.
Oh.
After the second session, their classroom becomes sporting events because they run the social media for high school sports teams in our area. And so I will see them at North Oconee High School or Clark Central High School, Oconee County High School. That's where I will see them and give them feedback live in real time.
I need to know this. And by the way, that's good. We'll allow that. I'll allow it. Back in my day, it was Clark Central, Cedar Shoals, man. They just hated each other. Now, that was 30 years ago or so. Is that a rivalry now? You got so many private schools now, and things have changed in divisions and all that. Are those still schools still out there? They still play? Is that a rivalry deal?
Yeah, that's the two public schools in Clark County, and very much a rivalry. It's been one-sided in a lot of ways, I think, and on football especially. Clark Central has been superior in recent years. And, Dave Perno, the former UGA baseball coach, is the head football coach at Clark Central.
Yeah.
So getting that TRS there. Good guy. He loves the area. Clark Central's been a pretty good team. In fact, their starting quarterback last year was one of the last commits to Georgia, Hezekiah Millender. I don't know that he'll ever end up playing at Georgia. He's a very raw, super good athlete. I think he's ideal for scout team, but I could see him being one that gets some tape at Georgia in practice and then transfers out to some other school to compete to be their quarterback. I could be wrong. Look, the Stetson Bennett story happened, so I don't want to completely rule the guy out, but he's just such raw tools for SEC at this point.
I have three or four guys that are mutual friends. Perno, they're golfing buddies, and they rave about the guys, and the guys is phenomenal. For sure. All right, tell me, we had our first scrimmage in Athens, and I read all the quotes about it, and Kirby seemed to be pleased with some aspects and not with others. What'd you make of what Kirby had to say? What'd you make of the first scrimmage in Athens?
So I listened to what Kirby had to say, and then I do have the luxury of chatting with Jim Donnan a couple times a week, and I run some things by him. And so, you know, you hear in a scrimmage that you know, there was an interception, or and that's good and bad, right? It's maybe the defensive back made a great play, but then could the quarterback allow an interception? Like, there's always the weird calculus of how you measure what went good and what went bad. And Jim Donnan was telling me, look, it's a bit about volume that Georgia quarterbacks, in this case, this was Gunnar Stockton and Ryan Puglisi, in 150 reps in these scrimmages had two interceptions. You'd take that every day of the week.
Yes.
At any point in the season, if you, I mean, that's an unreal protect the ball kind of rate. And so I don't know that the full story gets told with that. You know, overall, Georgia needs to develop its lines of scrimmage. They don't know who the starting right guard is going to be. If there are injuries on the offensive line, is Monroe Freeling going to reemerge to what he was maybe in November last year and not in postseason? Because that was kind of a different story. You know, we talked about Ellis Robinson last week. I do think Georgia is in a very good spot at corner, where you have Daylon Everett, who came back, who I think will be a high pick in the NFL draft. You have Daniel Harris, who was good last year, but I do think teams tried to pick on him toward the end of the season. And then you have Ellis Robinson and all the talent we've talked about. DeMello Jones is one that nationally people don't know of yet. He played at Swainsboro High School. He was one of those that was a quarterback on a team that went to a state championship, and they just did a lot of option running. But then he's also a really good defensive back. That's what he's doing at Georgia. I don't know that you'll find many cornerback groups that are as deep as Georgia. I don't know about top-end talent. I'm not sitting there saying they're the classic Ohio State LSU at defensive back, but Georgia has depth there. And depth, I think, is what's going to have you playing deeper into championship runs in this era of college football.
I have one secondary question on a guy that you did not mention, but everybody and all the talk is about Zachariah Branch. I want to ask about Zion, his older brother, a guy that was, you know, played at a high level before transferring in. Working his way in, a lot to learn there. Where does he stand as a safety?
Yeah, so there's the opposite safety spot of KJ Bolden, which is up for grabs. And even Jonair Aguero, who started at Star for Georgia last year, cross-training with that spot. And, I think Branch is right there in the mix to play some there. That spot is pretty wide open. I mean, we're even hearing that Adrian Maddox, the transfer from UAB, could potentially get some playing time there. Ja'Cory Thomas has been at Georgia for 3 years already, so maybe that's where some of the reps come from. That would be the most likely starting candidate to me, but that could be one, especially with the way the schedule breaks out early. You have a bit of a rotation there. I think they're pleased with Branch because in the recruiting, it was very much like, let's get Zachariah, the wide receiver, and then his brother wants to come as well. He's a good player, but he's probably not the prospect that Zachariah is, so let's bring in Zion as well. And I think that he has exceeded expectations based on the recruit early on.
All right. I listened to Kirby, and I listened probably 10-12 minutes of Kirby, and you could tell he's experienced. First of all, I knew what to expect going in, but you would say, like, reporters nowadays, and this is something to teach your class, don't ask open-end questions. Don't ask a question you already know the answer to, but ask a specific question about something, because someone, you know, you get this from, and here's an average question now. Can I come out of scrimmage? What do you think of tight ends? Well, Kirby's not going to go in-depth on every one of those tight ends. He's going to say, well, like the room, got some experience there, got a little banged up in some places, but, you know, thought the block was okay, stretched field a little bit all right, but, we feel good about tight ends. So what I want to know is, Coach, Oscar Delp, is he where he thought he would be? Is Lawson Lucky, what's his role going to be, kind of a thing? But you're not going to get that, man. Like, you got to ask.
Man, I am so glad you're going down this trail, because, like, some of the questions really bother me, because a lot of it ends up being the open-ended of how's Lawson Lucky coming along? I mean, what's he going to say?
Yeah.
You know, like,
Lawson's mom and dad are listening. Yeah, his mom and dad
are
listening. High school coach listening.
Yeah. That's not going to happen.
No.
So here's an example of a way that I thought that was done better. It was yesterday. So the question was about Nate Frazier. And so rather than how's Nate Frazier coming along, it was something along the lines of, you know, hey, Kirby, we're hearing that, like, team leadership-wise, Nate Frazier is one of the guys on offense that is really a vocal leader on this team. But with his play specifically, going into year two, what have you seen him improve on even since spring? And then Kirby gave a great answer about knowing where to block, knowing when to stay in and when to go, confidence in hitting the hole. Like, he gave some tangible things rather than, you know, he's picking up the system.
Yeah. The other one is you can't ask leading questions. And this is something I do too much, but I try to work on it. First, you ask short questions. And the other thing is, but you can't say, Coach, I got to tell you, Nate Frazier, boy, look good as a true freshman. You got to get into the ball, Nick, a lot more this year, right? Different ways this year, right? It's like, you just answered your question, bud.
That's just a statement. That's not a question.
Yeah. All right. Where is Georgia, the question marks in your head? Where are we at answered stuff so far? And then what questions do you still have?
Injury-wise, Georgia's in as good a shape as I can remember heading into this stage. And Kirby even mentioned that Georgia's tackling a bit more in this fall camp. And I think some of that's because they were poor. You know, there's never the right line of how much you tackle and you hit in a camp. Because either you beat yourself up or you're not used to the contact. So, I mean, I think coaches are always waffling back and forth on what that looks like. And it's probably based on depth as much as anything. Especially, you know, this time of year. Maybe it's different in spring camp. In terms of question marks, I look at that right guard spot on offensive line. We're now hearing that Juan Gaston, a true freshman, may be right there in the mix for that, which is pretty unique when you have a Daniel Calhoun. You know, you have some guys that have been around at Georgia for at least a year, so that's a big step for Juan Gaston. You want to know which of the receivers keep their spot, because there's a numbers game there. Like, if Branch and Noah Thomas from Texas A&M are on the field and you still have Dylan Bell, you know, then that's going to kind of crowd it out a little bit. How does Georgia manage that rotation? Gunnar Stockton's going to be the quarterback. Nate Frazier is going to be the first running back. You know, maybe there's something to be done with some running back reps after that, but McCray from Illinois looks like he's the bruiser to come behind there. There's some speed that you can probably get with some of the, you know, it was a trio of freshmen last year, Frazier being one of them. Chauncey Bowens maybe is in that mix. And then defensively, opposite safety spot. I want to know who's going to be the edge rusher for Georgia. That was supposed to be Michael Williams last year, and we both talked about how I thought he underperformed pretty much his whole Georgia career, especially based on the talent that even the NFL saw. So where does Georgia get some of that edge rush? Because I actually feel decent about interior defensive line for Georgia when you start looking at Xavier McLeod.
When Elijah Griffin, I think it's Elijah Griffin, the true freshman, I've heard good things there. Are you hearing the same thing?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard good things since he stepped on campus. He's one of those potential generational type talents. You never want to, like, label that because, you know, the lights do have to come on. But to this point, I think Georgia's been thrilled with him, and he is a true freshman from Savannah area. He will play early and often in Georgia.
Yeah, which is hard to play defensive line at Georgia in the past. But this is a little bit different roster, and feel free to disagree there. But the other part of it is, like, he's a five-star. He's a talent, but there's an opportunity for him. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah. Well, I mean, even Jalen Carter, as great as he was,
right,
the first half of that first year, wasn't a massive contributor at Georgia. But there's a great reason why. It's because Jordan Davis was right there. It's because Devontae Wyatt was around. You know, so, yeah, like, there's more room in this era of college. Kirby even said this, that when half your team is first or second year guys, you better believe as a first year player that you're going to play. Doesn't mean that you always will. And he was talking about Ellis Robinson with this, but, like, you know, people were looking at Ellis Robinson as a disappointment, and he was saying, no, he wasn't necessarily a disappointment. Like, he needed to come in with the confidence thinking he could play, and then it's our job to determine if he's actually ready to. And Georgia said last year that wasn't the case. From everything that we're hearing, that's not going to happen with Elijah Griffin. I think they think he's ready now. Sure, he'll improve. He'll learn things. But I think he may be kind of in the Dylan Stewart range of, like, after that first year, you're like, man, that's one of the best talents in college football.
Yeah, but I still want to go on your message boards and hear your fans talk about who should be starting and all, because that's...
Oh, that happened.
Oh, yeah. Robinson's the best example of it. I mean, he was
the lightning rod.
Yeah, he was the message board All-American last year. Because anytime anybody gave up a pass at cornerback, like one of the other cornerbacks gave up a completion, you know, it was like, well, Robinson wouldn't have done that. Why is he not in the game? Well, there might be a reason. There might be a reason.
You let Dylan Bell drop one pass, and they're going to be calling for C.J. Wiley. That's the way this game goes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know that. But, all right, tell us about UGASports.com. You and Coach Donnan, a lot of great things going on the site, and a good time to subscribe to Georgia right now.
Yeah, I mentioned that first day of classes, and one of the things I asked Coach Donnan on UGA Sports Live last night when we had our podcast, which people can check out at UGASports.com or our YouTube channel, about first day of classes, he said, I never had a good practice on the first day of classes because guys never know where they're going. They get lost in their building, and it's all confusing, and they're not quite prepped for that. So I wouldn't imagine many teams, if they're on the same schedule, will have a good day of practice today or tomorrow because, you know, you have the Monday, Wednesday, Friday classes. You have the Tuesday, Thursday classes. And so Georgia, he said, might as well have walkthroughs the next 2 days.
Yeah, and it is his experience, and Kirby knows that as well. And the good news is, it seems like early classes there, so you got time to rebound and come off of all that. UGASports.com, check the folks out. Dane, always appreciate it, my friend, and we'll talk to you as we inch even closer to the opening game for Georgia. We'll visit next week.
Sounds good. Hope the kids are well, Mickey.
Yours too. Take care, buddy. Dane Young, UGASports.com. We'll take a break when we come back. No Andrew Olafon this week. So, win, game, whatever you guys want to get into, love to get into it right after a short break.
This season, knock it out of the park with Underdog. Underdog is one of the leading sports apps, and you can play now in South Carolina. Their app has over 100,000 five-star reviews and millions of players. Download the app and pick whether a player will go higher or lower on one of their stats. Choose categories like strikeouts, home runs, and so much more. If you get your picks correct, you could win up to 1,000 times your money. So you could turn a dollar into $1,000 with your baseball knowledge. Download the Underdog app. Sign up now with promo code Road Rage to unlock a special offer of up to $1,000 in bonus funds when you make your first deposit. That's promo code Road Rage. Must be 18 or older and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See underdogfantasy.com/web/deposit-match-terms for details. Consult with your play. Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
There's a reason Elite Custom Golf Carts has quickly become the upstate's top golf cart dealer. With the best prices and largest selection, we make your buying experience easy. Our amazing staff can help guide you in the process. Also offering free delivery to over 10 states and flat rate delivery to many more. Now the upstate's largest authorized Evolution and Denago EV dealer. The fastest growing golf cart brands in the industry. Visit EliteCustomGolfCarts.com for more information. And go Tigers!
Turning 65? Don't make a mistake you'll regret for the rest of your life. Get the plan that fits you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
When is a symphony actually a rock show? When the Black Jacket Symphony comes to town. Experience the era of yacht rock live as top-tier musicians recreate iconic albums, note for note, sound for sound. With stunning precision. It's not just a concert, it's a masterclass in rock nostalgia and sonic perfection. Catch the magic August 16th at the Wahala Performing Arts Center. Tickets at WahalaPAC.com. Don't miss this night of legendary music. You'll never hear rock the same way again.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing tie. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, playing tie.
Braves fans, step up your sock game with Clemson Sock Shop and make every step a home run. That's right, Clemson Sock Shop has all the fun, funky, nostalgic socks to make you stand out in the crowd. Whether you're cheering on the Braves at the stadium, watching the game on the couch, or listening to the game recap on the Roar during your morning commute, gear up with Clemson Sock Shop. It's fun fashion for your feet. And as always, buy five, get one free. Located inside Nutique Boutique on Pendleton Square.
Have you been charged with a criminal offense? The legal system can be overwhelming and intimidating. you could be facing significant consequences. You need someone in your corner to help you navigate it all. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, will help you get the answers you need. Call today for your free consultation at 864-654-3680 or visit nicklaverylaw.com. You don't have to go through this alone. Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney, here for you.
At Lake Kiwi Ford and Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, we offer transparent pricing. You get the manufacturer's rebate, you get the dealer discount, you get every available discount, military, college grad, subprime credit. If there's a discount you qualify for, we'll find it and give it to you. That's how Lake Kiwi guarantees you get the best price. And that's why if you buy somewhere else, you're gonna pay too much. So come see us, we're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson, and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
See dealer for details.
Did you hear that? Lake Kiwi Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Lake Kiwi Ford offer transparent pricing, meaning you get every available discount. And right now, the discounts are huge because at Lake Kiwi, it's the final days of employee pricing for everyone. You pay what the factory worker pays, not a penny more. And the best part, with Lake Kiwi's transparent pricing, you see all of the savings. So go see the team at Lake Kiwi. They're on Highway 123 between Seneca and Clemson and always open at lakekiwiautogroup.com.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HDTV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are The Roar.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us. My great friends at Trail, T-R-E-H-E-L.com, 800-319-7006. Trail does an absolutely incredible job of building relationships and building buildings and both last a lifetime. And I want to say congratulations. They're going to welcome Paul Smith to their as a project superintendent and another great employee. Somebody's going to be very, very happy for them here. Trail has done an absolutely amazing job of hiring the great people. You know, one of the hiring deals I heard before, Will Huss told me that we don't go into like hiring binges and then have to lay people off. Like with when business is great, we hire a bunch of great people and then it gets slow. An economy gets slower, we lay people off. He says, we don't do that. And he says, there's opportunity. If you have someone elite that's looking for a job, you only have one opportunity to hire that person because someone else is going to do it. So their thought is we hire great people and we hire them as often as we can because is you might miss that opportunity, and you might not ever have that opportunity ever again. I like that idea. It's part of the reason why they're great at Trail. Find out about a better building experience. It is trehel.com, 800-319-7006. We have a request. God bless your soul. We have a request for Georgia Southern win game.
Oh, boy.
Can I do some Clay research Helton? First?
Yeah. Clay Helton.
I love Clay Helton. With that said, I don't want to.
You're not locked in on the Sun Belt?
No, here's a couple things. Number one is I don't want to be disingenuous to Georgia Southern because I like them. I pull for them. A good friend of mine played there. And I love Coach Helton. I think he's done a great job there. But the other thing is I just don't know enough about them. I don't know enough about anybody anymore because of the transfer portal. And we might can try it, but so far Clay Helton 6-7, 6-7, 8-5. Like they got a little bit better. He's gone to 3 straight bowl games there in his time at Georgia Southern. So they're getting a little bit better, I would say. He kind of took care of a little bit of a mess, but Clay Helton coming from the West Coast, like he gave them some credibility, right? He's done a decent job there, hadn't he?
He's done a really good job considering the job. I mean, yeah. 8 wins at Georgia Southern is really, really good.
Yeah.
That's a good bounce back for Clay Helton, who very badly needed a little bit of a boost to whatever reputation you can claim he has. And they have USC on the schedule this year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Let me pencil that one in on the win game.
Again, I don't want to be, because I don't, and it's not that I don't know, like, I don't want to be disingenuous to Georgia Southern, but I don't know anything about Maine or James Madison or Southern Miss or Georgia State or Arkansas State. So we're not going to do it. But I'll say this, I'm pulling for Clay Helton.
I have not deep dived into the Sun Belt yet this year.
No.
That will be part of my degenerate level preparation.
Some point in time.
Next week.
Yeah. Hey, they got a quarterback by the name of J.C. French the Fourth. And yeah. That might be the greatest name I've ever heard.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. Give me Georgia Southern to win 10 games.
Everybody remembers the third and junior, too. Those guys were great. Helton at Southern Cal. We've got some unbelievable coaching matchups this year. And guys going against former teams and guys that don't like each other and all that. But I had no idea Helton going back to his old stompy ground. Are you surprised a little bit that he couldn't do it, Clay Helton couldn't do it at Southern Cal?
No.
Really?
He was a bad coach there. It was bad from the get-go for me. And by the end there, it was baffling that he kept the job as long as he did almost. Felt like he could have been fired any given week.
He was one of the guys that did a two-time interim coach. Like he was an interim coach twice at Southern Cal before he got the full-time job.
I don't usually love hiring the interim coach.
I don't either. But now he had it going. He inherited some good there because he had it going. They finished 2016 10-3, ranked third in the country.
Yeah. And then Darnold, right?
Yeah, and then they won 11 games in 17, and they finished 10th in the country.
Yep.
They had it going.
And then it fell down.
It wasn't good. 5-7, 8-5. But in the COVID year, they were 5-1, and it had it going, but really it just wasn't. He didn't get it. He didn't get it for sure. But Southern Cal, I think one of the biggest shocks to me of the last 28 years of doing this is that Lincoln Riley has not gotten it done at Southern Cal.
Yeah, Landon and I have talked about this a good bit on this show, actually, when we did Lincoln Riley's job security one time when you were out. And it's jarring how disappointing that tenure has been, but it's also jarring when you look at the buyout that he has. How impossible it is really for them to get out of the situation right now, which our conclusion was stop hiring coaches to 10-year contracts. That was the conclusion we came to there.
I would tell you this. I think, and I think I'm right by saying it this way, I don't recall anybody right now or even the last 10 years that I'm more shocked he hadn't got it done. I also have the axiom when it comes to coaching hires that because a guy was successful or unsuccessful at a place before does not mean he's going to be successful or unsuccessful at the next place. You would think that Bill Belichick, he didn't get it done at Cleveland. Well, he obviously did very, very well with the Patriots. You know, Pete Carroll wasn't very good with the Patriots. He was very, very good at Southern Cal, very, very good with the Seahawks. So you can't – there's no transitive property because you're working for a different general manager, a different owner in the NFL. You're working for a different president, different athletic director, different set of recruiting circumstances. Like, there's a lot in there. But you look at Oklahoma, and the other thing is, like, he's a great recruiter. It's not like he was just resting on his laurels. Oklahoma was – in his first year, 12-2, he finished third in the country. His second year, 12-2, finished fourth in the country. His third year, 12-2, and finished sixth in the country. His next year, 9-2, and finished sixth in the country. And that was the COVID year. And then he went 10-2 and finished 13th in the country. But, like, he was 55-10 at Oklahoma. And it's not like Oklahoma was some sort of slouch. He was 37-7 in the league. He won the league four straight years. It's not like, he's coming from Miami of Ohio and he won at the MAC, but he just can't win a big time. Oklahoma was big time. He had four straight top four finishes. And here we go at Southern Cal. And he started out great at Southern Cal, 11-3, finished 12th. 8-5 and 7-6?
Yeah, they were 11-3, but they blew the season to Utah.
They had a golden
opportunity winning in playoff game, basically, against Utah to win the conference and get in, and they didn't do it.
Yeah.
In a game that really, for Utah, didn't end up mattering in the scheme of postseason play, but it did win them the Pac-12.
So
they're disappointing.
So what has happened?
Well, they were defensively challenged to begin with.
But he's had time to fix that.
I think last year they didn't have quarterback play. They still do have some defensive questions. They've made strides in that department, but
last year they looked like one of the least physical teams. If you think about it, Michigan lined up and smashed them, and then Minnesota lined up and smashed them. The Penn State game, they had that. One thing there is they lose every close game. So
that was it last year. They couldn't close games.
So at some point in time, there's an old adage in football, too, that says this. Lose big, then lose small, then win small, then win big. Like there's a progression to building. Can you say that transitive property of last year they lost by 3 to Michigan, 7 to Minnesota, lost by 3 in overtime to Penn State, lost by 1 to Maryland, lost by 5 to Washington, and then Notre Dame beat them by 14. Before the Notre Dame game, in their first 5 losses, they had fourth quarter leads. And they won big games. Like they beat LSU last year, but they had fourth quarter leads, and they blew all of those first five losses.
The 3-game stretch last year where they lost to Minnesota, Penn State, and Maryland in a row is one of the worst 3-game stretches a team went on in the country last year, period, because of how stupid it was that they didn't even pull out one of those.
Yeah.
It's improbable when you watch those games back that they didn't win one of them.
So can I say that it's going to get better? Or is this a snake bit deal?
This is the argument. Do you believe in the stats that say first or one score games flip year to year? I don't know. We'll see.
And then we also got to remember he's had a Heisman quarterback for those first couple years.
Until last year,
and we saw how well that went.
Can we go that the physical part of it? Because here's the deal. Michigan ran it for 290 yards. Michigan, Alex Orji was 7 of 12 for 32 yards. Michigan threw for 32 yards. And beat Southern Cal.
I can remember you and I coming on the next week screaming at USC for losing that football game.
That's unbelievable. Minnesota, in their second loss, Minnesota ran it for 193. All right? In their third loss, make sure I'm not saying this. In their third loss, that was the Penn State game. That was at home. They had no business losing this game.
That was a choke.
They choked it up. They were up
to James Franklin, no less.
Yeah. Penn State scored late to tie it. I don't know why ESPN didn't put the time up anymore.
You can't lose an OT at home.
Yeah.
You just can't do it.
All right, but in that game, see if I'm right by saying this, Penn State ran it for, they held Penn State to 118. That's where the tight end, Warren caught 17 passes of 224 yards.
It was one of the best games of the year.
And the Maryland loss, They had a huge lead there.
This was the worst one to me.
Yeah, because they had a 14-point lead in the fourth quarter and lost.
And Maryland stunk.
Maryland rushed it for only 56 yards. So it wasn't a matter. Maryland threw it for 373. So it wasn't just the physical part then. But it was
like
a close game.
Defense
stuff
in general was bad.
Yeah. Shouldn't have lost to Washington last year. Washington only rushed for 113. So it was a pass defense too. But the point, I think I'm right by saying this. Let me see if they had a lead in the fourth quarter there. Yeah, going to the fourth quarter, they're up 21-20 and scored, got beat.
That one wasn't as bad as the other ones, but it was, road game, but still bad.
Yeah, bad. And then in the Notre Dame loss, Notre Dame rushed for 258.
Yeah, but they were never going to win that game with the way that season. That just wasn't a game they were going to win.
Yep,
that is way down on the totem pole.
I agree. Even though that was a 14-14 game.
They stayed in it.
It was 21-21 in the third quarter.
I want to say Xavier Watts had a pick six in that game maybe. That might have been a couple years ago. I don't know. Miller Moss wasn't good enough last year either.
I forgot. How about this? First of all, Southern Cal is within 7 points of Notre Dame. And Notre Dame had a 99-yard interception return and a 100-yard interception return in the fourth quarter to beat Southern Cal.
Yeah, so it was a collapse.
Holy moly, then that's it.
That is a bad loss.
That's a bad loss, but here's the deal.
It's still not Maryland, though.
Here's the deal. They found ways to lose games. They snatched defeat from the jaws of victory over and over and over again.
Similar to Auburn, in a sense.
Yes, exactly like Auburn.
Yeah.
So quickly here in the last 30 seconds, does that turn around?
I think they'll win 8 or 9.
I mean, it just depends on Maiava, first of all, if he can play better. And then the defense. I mean, they made improvements. They got a couple of key transfers. Now it's just a matter if they can get it to kind of click together. And, you know, they can recruit. So they also brought guys in. It's just who's going to step up.
Interesting stuff.
A lot of tough games on that schedule. Illinois, Michigan, Notre Dame, Oregon. I mean, it's not an unmanageable schedule, certainly, but there are some tough games on there.
Mm.
Just don't lose the bad ones. Michigan State, Nebraska, UCLA. Yeah.
That's
don't lose those.
That's right. Don't lose to those. Hey, Patterson Tax Service wants to do your taxes. PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. The Patterson Tax Service does an amazing job. You're going to love them. They love doing their taxes, love their tax planning, tax evaluation. Let them do your bookkeeping, payroll, accounting. They'll do all those services for you now. That way you spend more time with your family, you spend more time with your clients, you spend more time with your employees, and you get your nose out of the books. You didn't get in your business to get in the accounting business. Let them do that for you. You're going to love the Patterson Tax Service, PATTX.com, PATTX.com, 864-859-8289. I will hit the road. I will be coming to you live tomorrow from Charleston. Sam and Landon will take the final segment of the show. I'll be listening to the radio. Can't wait. So the final segment coming up right after this.
The countdown is on. 17 days until Clemson Tiger football. Brought to you by Nick Lavery, Clemson's local attorney.
Clemson takes a shotgun snap, wants to throw underneath, has it complete. That's going to be more. Turns it up to 15, to 10, 5. Touchdown. It's another big first quarter for Clemson. 2 seconds left in the quarter. It's 16-0.
We are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, where every day is game day.
No matter where you begin your journey or how long you stay with Tri-County Technical College, they support your career path from day one. Their enrollment process is seamless, and their experts are available to help you find the balance you're looking for. Tri-County offers financial assistance tutoring, health and wellness resources, career planning assistance, and more. They're nationally ranked and in the top 1% for successful transfers to four-year universities. Visit tctc.edu.
We know America is in a health crisis. But when we say that, it can feel distant. It feels big. It feels impersonal. In reality, being overweight, it is personal. It's happening to people all around us. And the effects are numerous among people that we care about. Well, Dr. Ashley Lucas and her team at PhD Weight Loss are changing the narrative surrounding getting weight gain under control. They're not prioritizing shots or pills or popular drugs. They are prioritizing lasting solutions, learning how to eat, learning how to think about food. They are doing the hard work so that you can turn your body into a fat-burning machine using real food, behavioral coaching, and proven science. And these are habits that will last a lifetime. Literally, you could do them forever. Call today. Set up a consultation. You'll be glad you did that. 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or go to myphdweightloss.com.
Welcome back to this year's football season. Continue your tailgate traditions Clemson style with Chick-fil-A of Clemson and Seneca. Order your tailgating trays such as nuggets, strips, mac and cheese, or delicious cookies. Herb and Carol Tyler want to make sure we're a part of your Clemson tradition. Call Chick-fil-A of Clemson at 864-654-4655 or Seneca at 864-886-9080 to prepare for game day. You can also order online at ilovechickfilet.com or through the Chick-fil-A app.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
I'm a Tiger fan.
I'm a GameCop fan.
Could you imagine living in a house like this?
Making choices is hard, but choosing the right countertop doesn't have to be. Star Granite Interiors has been in business for over 50 years. We use the latest in
technology.
No matter how you say it, we use the best equipment to ensure a quality experience. Not to mention our customer service is second to none.
Call our dad for a free quote.
Call Jeremy Revis at 864-304-4249.
Sweet summertime is coming to an end, and all parents know what that means. Back to school preparations. You have the school supplies, new backpack and clothes, but what's the one thing your son needs? A fresh new haircut that will start off his school year right. No matter what age, feeling good about yourself is always in style. Let him be his best self this school year, and call Roosters for your appointment today at 884-8920.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of two national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
Tiger fans, beat the heat with Elkmont. Whether you're cooling off with a day at the lake, heading for cooler climates on vacation, or gearing up for game day, Elkmont has everything you need. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z-Supply, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is your destination for summer fun. Conveniently located in Powdersville and Clemson, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's E-L-K-M-O-N-T tradingcompany.com. Go Tigers!
As an independent business owner, you're the expert in your field, but you may not have the time or resources to stay on top of tax forms and payments. Let David Green help you get back on track. With his expertise, he can implement the best IRS programs to resolve any tax issues you face. Whether it's with the IRS or South Carolina state taxes, call us today at 271-7940 or visit greenlaw.legal for a free consultation to discuss your situation.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Homegrown alligator, see you later. Gotta hit the road, gotta hit the road. The sun ain't changing the atmosphere. Architecture unfamiliar, I could get used to this. Time flies by in the yellow and green. Stick around and you'll see what I mean. There's a mountain top that I'm dreaming of. If you need me, you know where I'll be.
Welcome back, everybody, to the final segment of the Wednesday edition of the Mickey Plyler Show here on The Roar. Mickey has taken off for his jaunt down to Charleston with where he's going to speak. He's going to do some golfing. He's going to have a nice couple days. He'll be back with us tomorrow via remote, and we'll all be here on Landon's penultimate day, my final day with Landon in the studio. Isn't that sad?
Yeah. I know. It's been a ride.
It's been fun.
It has been a ride.
I want to tell you guys about Engineered Sleep. Engineered Sleep, the duo mattress. It's a two-piece design. It's going to give you the best night of. It's going to give you the best night of sleep that you've had in months, years, your whole life. The Today mattress has taken off. It gives you a great option if you're shopping for a mattress at Costco, Sam's Club, Walmart, or Amazon. You need a good mattress at a good price, and you need it today. It's always in stock. It's ready for same-day pickup or same-day shipping and delivery. And it's great for vacation homes, rentals, kids, young adults, college homes. Landon, you can get it in your off-campus apartment at Wingate. Mickey's got one. Get the Today mattress today. Get your Duo mattress. The best mattress is under $500. Mickey's on vacation for the next couple days. He's not going to sleep as well, like you mentioned, during break, Landon. He's going to be in a hotel somewhere, and he's not going to have an Engineered Sleep mattress. Engineered Sleep, go get your Today mattress or your Duo mattress today. Landon, final segment of the day, what you got?
We're just going to go to the opposite side of football. We talk a lot of college football, and I don't blame anyone for that because I love doing it too. But, hey, we got another season of football still rocking and coming up, and it's going to be the NFL. I want to talk to you about the NFL. I know Seminole Ted wants to talk to us about the NFL. And I want you to get, you know, some predictions on MVP. And for those of you that I'm sure want to listen and figure out, and we're going to go fantasy football MVP too. Who's some sleepers? Who you think is going to be the top performer in fantasy football? So that's what I'm thinking. Let's go with the NFL.
Let's see what Seminole Ted's got to say first. Seminole Ted, appreciate you holding through break. As always, my friend, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thanks for getting me in. I want to talk a little Miami Dolphins. You know, I'm so confused on how the season is going to go. I feel like it's going to be like an 11-6 or 12-5 type season where we maybe finally win a playoff game, but it's all going to hinge on whether or not Tua can play smart and stay healthy. We do not have a solid chance at winning without Tua. I don't have a lot of faith in Zach Wilson. I feel like Quentin Ewers, because they play a similar style of football, I believe he's going to end up being the number two, the backup. I feel good about our defensive line. I don't feel so great about our secondary. I feel really good about our receivers and running backs. Not so great about our offensive line. The one thing I would have liked to have seen Chris Greer do is take some of that free cap money they had and do something to shore up that offensive line, because, once again, if Tua gets knocked out, we're done. But that's kind of my thoughts on that. I'm not going to keep it long. I want to take some comments off the air. Thanks for taking my call. Y'all have a good one.
Seminole Ted, appreciate you getting in. As always, my friend, have a great rest of your week if we don't talk to you again before the weekend. Yeah, the Dolphins, to me, strike as one of those teams. I'm not quite as high. I think this is probably a 7-8 win football team, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, we could do win game for the Dolphins if we want to. We can get to it. But
it's hard to do win game for the NFL. There's really so many darn games. But I will say, the Dolphins, ninth easiest schedule on the board this year, so that does favor them a little bit. Each of the AFC East teams have favorable schedules this season. Obviously, the offense is going to be explosive if everybody's healthy.
That was the big difference last year.
Yeah, you add Nick Westbrook-Ikhina in there in the receiver room to add a little bigger body guy on the outside, which is something they don't always have. Darren Waller, I have no faith in being useful at all this season out of retirement. You have, once again, a very good, fast running back room with Achan, who you talked about during break. Jalen Wright's good as well. Kind of different roles there, a little thunder and lightning for them if Tyreek Hill gets his way. And then, as Seminole Ted said, it all hinges on Tua. If Tua's healthy, you're going to be at least average, most likely. But I don't really think the ceiling stretches that much higher than above average, like a 9-win football team, just because I think they're very clearly the second best team in this division, and there's a very realistic world where they're the third. And at the end of the day, I don't trust the offensive line. I don't trust it to keep Tua upright, and keeping Tua upright is as important with his injury history as any other quarterback in the NFL. You get Jordan Phillips back defensively, or not Jordan Phillips, I can't think of the name that I'm trying to get to. Jalen Phillips here, back from his multiple injuries over the last couple years. You paid Zach Seiler in the offseason. You have guys on that D-line that will get to the quarterback. You bring Minka in your secondary. You bring him back. You should have a competent secondary. The question for me is, can you keep Tua upright, and can you get consistency out of the secondary? If you can get those two things, 9-10 wins. If it's like last season where you have problems on the O-line and you get beat in the pass game and your defense is atrocious, and yeah, you're going to have some problems.
Yeah, for me, I think that offense just scores too many points, right? If Tua's healthy, right?
That's going to be open.
Look how explosive they were. And honestly, it affects everyone. HN did not play well last year after Tua went down. Obviously, Tyreek Hill had one of the worst seasons of his career.
And these guys were all beat up, too.
And they were.
Waddle is beat up every day.
And it feels like injuries is what's killing the Dolphins more than anything. And especially if you look in the D-line, like you mentioned, you have Jalen Phillips. He's a linebacker, but he plays most off
the edge.
And then Chop Robinson, someone else that we didn't see a whole lot of and expecting a little bit more of him this year.
He was great when he was on the field last year.
But you got to keep him there.
Yeah.
You got to find a way to keep him there. I'd like, you know, the addition of Minka Fitzpatrick, but you lost Jalen Ramsey at the same time. So it's, I think that's really up to you. Do you, as a fan, do you like the safeties more, or do you like the corners more? Who kind of causes more havoc there out on the field? For me personally, I think I would, just these two specifically, I would like Minka Fitzpatrick over Jalen Ramsey, just at where they are in their careers. Jalen, a little bit older, just a little bit. So I like the fact of having an older safety rather than an older corner. But Ollie Gordon has also looked really good so far, from what I've seen, both in that preseason game and in their camp. He has looked really good, as could be, you know, kind of that 1-2 that you were talking about, but had a different name thrown out there. But I like Achane, obviously, and I think Gordon's a nice little addition there, and they just need a little bit extra help, I think, on that O-line. It does not look good up there, especially you lost Armstead. He retires, right?
So killer blow. Granted, that, always hurt, but killer blow.
Yeah, and I'm not saying he was, you know, dominant by any means near the end of his career, but I think he just helps from a fact of coaching up everyone else, right? Getting everyone else to be a little bit better, but
we're going to see.
It's going to be an interesting one.
They don't inspire confidence for me is what I would say. This is a very critical year for Mike McDaniel as well.
Oh, yeah.
They were really hot when he came in. Have fallen off for a variety of reasons. If guys stay healthy, should be able to be a wild card caliber team.
Oh, yeah.
But I have my questions. You said MVP.
Yeah. It's tough. It is tough. Hard to really know.
If Joe Burrow and the Bengals win 10 games, I think he gets it this year.
I am so glad you went there because I was thinking the same thing. If you give Joe Burrow a defense and the team looks better, it's got to be Joe Burrow. You look at him last year, dominated the league.
Couldn't win games. Josh Allen has his. Lamar has his MVPs. Mahomes has his MVPs. Burrow is kind of that fourth guy out of those four where you think of the top quarterbacks in the league, he jumps to mind immediately. He hasn't gotten his yet. And my biggest question for him is, will they win enough games to get him the respect that he needs to get? I don't think the Bengals are going to win 10 games. I think they're going to win 8 or 9 again. And I think if they miss the playoffs or are the last wild card, Burrow is going to be in a spot where somebody on a better team is going to win out like it usually does in the MVP race. However, he's going to throw for around 4,800 yards this year, most likely. He probably goes over 5,000 if everything breaks well. They're going to throw a ton.
Oh, yeah.
They've improved in the running game with Chase Brown as the full-time running back there. You have two all-pro caliber wide receivers. If the O-line holds up and they win 10 games, I think it's Burrow's award to lose this year.
Do you ever think we'll ever see a non-quarterback MVP? Because last year...
I don't know if we're
going to get
another
one. Last year was maybe the best opportunity to have a non-quarterback MVP. Saquon Barkley had maybe the best year we've ever seen from a running back up there.
Certainly one of them.
And... wasn't even close. It was the Josh Allen and Lamar. That was the only two that were been in discussion, and I just don't see it. I don't know how you ever do.
The offensive player of the year, the de facto everybody else, every other position award. And it bothers me because there will be candidates every year that probably deserve that award, but I don't know. I think it's turned itself into a QB award pretty exclusively, and I'd be pretty stunned if we ever got anyone else. Is Burrow your pick here?
I think so. I think Burrow has to be the pick just with how well he has played with what very little he's had, especially in the front line. And that front line's only getting better. Ja'Marr Chase seems like he's honestly taken Justin Jefferson's spot as the best receiver in the NFL. And he has a little bit more help at running back. I think he's got to be someone that if the defense plays well, I think he wins it.
Before we go to the two-minute drill, if you had to pick a dark horse dart throw
I was going to ask you the same question.
Who would it be?
I'm so glad. I feel like it has to be. I said it last year. I was very much disappointed. But I want C.J. Stroud to be someone that can play really well. If not C.J. Stroud, I don't think we're far off from a Jaden Daniels getting in there if he can play just as well as he did last year.
My dark horse, if I had to pick someone who wasn't a quarterback, Derrick Henry is going to run for a billion yards yet again this year.
I would not mind that at all.
Mickey Plyler is not here, which means he
yes.
doesn't get to make this decision. We're not skipping the music today. We are playing the two-minute drill music because we've never played it with you in the studio.
I've never been here for it.
Try to get 4 minutes of content into 2 minutes. It's time for the two-minute drill on WCCP 105.5 The Roar. Now, here's Mickey.
There is no Mickey, but we have two-minute drill music. Landon, two-minute drill, what do you got?
Oh, man, we have now made more history in the running back position. We were talking about the NFL. James Cook signs a 4-year, $40 million deal, 30 of it guaranteed. Man, maybe he can be the guy who could go off with that much money and win a non-quarterback MVP.
Isn't the music beautiful?
Oh,
I've only ever heard
See,
this
why haven't
one
we
time?
Had this the whole time?
One time, Mr. B questioned on the text line if we actually had two-minute drill music, and the answer is very resoundingly yes, but Mickey doesn't let me play it. My two-minute drill, our poll today was who is the greatest Clemson football player ever? So far, through the voting, and you guys can vote all week on this at theroarfm.com or on our app. Right now, the clubhouse leader with 10 votes, which is 29% of the vote right now, more of you need to vote, is Deshaun Watson. In second place, one vote behind is Trevor Lawrence. Travis Etienne is third on the list. CJ Spiller, fourth. Christian Wilkins has a stray vote. And there are three votes for other candidates. go vote on our poll, theroarfm.com. Greatest college football player ever for Clemson. There is an other tab for you if none of those choices float your boat. Appreciate you guys listening in today. Mickey will be back tomorrow. Landon isn't going to be back for his penultimate show. It's my last show with Landon. We're gonna have some fun. Did a win game today. Did a bunch of stuff. And then business as usual the rest of the week.
Yep.
Landon, appreciate you as always.
Yes, sir.
Mickey, if you're listening, have fun in Charleston. John and Faxon up next. Have a great rest of your week, everyone.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens. 97.5, Spartanburg. We are the Roar.